It's the Jefferson Exchange here on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm John Baxter in today for Jeffrey Riley. If you've been listening to the Jefferson Exchange the last month, you know we've been having a month-long segment about homelessness in the region. And one of the strategies that a lot of people are looking at to deal with the homeless problem is tiny houses. There have been tiny house villages built in Eugene and Medford, and now one in Ashland is being proposed. The Ashland Tiny House Group envisions 12 to 15 houses in a cluster on a piece of land on the south end of town, a place for people to get back on their feet financially while they're seeking permanent housing. The project director of the Ashland Tiny House Group, Karen Logan, joins us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Karen. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
So tell us about the Ashland Tiny House Group and how you got started.
Well, when I moved up here 4.5 years ago, I'm also a real estate broker, and I became aware of homeless kids and the problems with affordable housing. I also started producing events on tiny houses because of the general interest, my own interest, and tiny houses and homelessness as a solution really go together. And so I jumped on that. I had also volunteered as a CASA in Medford Court, so that's court-appointed advocate for abused and neglected children. So I got to see some really difficult situations for children here and felt a passion to do something about it.
So your interest in tiny houses maybe started with tiny houses as just a place for people to live, and then you transitioned to being interested in that for homeless people?
Actually, I'm an advocate for tiny houses in general. Mm-hmm. I'm an advocate for affordable housing. Being a real estate broker and investor, I've seen a lot of the damage that our current profit system has had, and really think that we need to seek out nonprofit affordable housing solutions for people.
Were you inspired by the tiny house villages that have cropped up in Eugene and Medford and in other locations, Portland as well?
Oh, absolutely. We had a speaker come down here, Alex Daniels, and he was a builder of Opportunity Village, and he inspired me and other people in this community to follow their model.
So in your press releases and your materials, you mentioned that you have a benefactor, Lloyd Haynes. What's his involvement in the project?
Well, I was referred to him that as someone who might be interested in the project, and he actually came forth in one or two conversations and just volunteered to support it financially and purchase the land for the village.
And your opening statement mentions children a lot. Do you have some numbers that indicate how many children in Ashland are actually homeless?
Well, there have been fairly recent studies done that there are 2 students in every classroom that are homeless. And when we ran a tiny house workshop, there was a mom who showed up to help build a tiny house. And she was homeless, and her child was homeless. And then later on, we spoke at their 8th grade class, and the class itself was aware of this homeless child. So kids are just homeless here in the area, and they really need taking care of, as well as the parents.
So does your definition of homeless mean that these kids are on the street or living out of cars, or do these include kids that may be couch surfing with friends or staying with relatives but don't have a permanent address?
Exactly. That's the wonderful thing about a privately funded homegrown community effort to take care of people. We don't have to go by strict federal guidelines as to what is homeless. So in our case, we want to help people who have potentially just been evicted. We want to help local people. We want to help people who have local connections, a job, a kid in school, who may be being driven out of Ashland because of high rental prices. And we want to help people who are on the street, so it can include couch surfing. I personally, taken care of 2 homeless teenagers, one of which was sleeping on a roof.
So is the village, as you envision it, intended just for families with children?
Yes. The village is intended to serve women, children, and families. So it's not just families. We have units that would be for single people. We have units that would handle two people. And then we want to have some family units.
So these are people that are maybe just recently homeless or are in danger of becoming homeless. So you're really, it sounds to me like you're not looking at serving that kind of hardcore homeless population that we see again and again on the streets.
Yeah, we're not limited. We've designed it to not be limited to on the street, but we'd like to include that. Basically, our model is St. Vincent de Paul, who works here locally. They will be the referring and recommending organization, and they have a phone number where people call for help. And they're an expert at it, and they're going to help bring who they think would be successful at the village and need that. There's an art to designing a community. So we only have so many houses. We want people who want to live successfully together and can be helped by our model.
Mm-hmm. So describe for us the community that you envision. There's, as I've seen the drawings, there's a cluster of 12 to 15 tiny houses.
Yes.
And are those just sleeping facilities? Are you going to have like a kind of a main clubhouse or cafeteria area? How's that going to work?
Yes. So the law that allows us to build a tiny house village allows for us to have these kind of shelters. And so none of the tiny houses will have plumbing in them or sewage. So we're going to have a shared group house, which will have shared kitchen and bathrooms and laundry rooms. So they will be individual units that have doors and locks. We're hoping to have solar panels and some electricity to them.
So there would be some of the tiny houses that didn't have electricity?
Yeah, the other villages don't necessarily have electricity.
So basically just a place to sleep.
Yes, it's a place to sleep, but also keep your stuff and lock your stuff. And the unique part about our model is that, let's say if we have a villager, maybe a mom and a single mom and a kid, who can afford about $400 in rent but can't place anywhere in Ashland, then they would pay a $100 village fee and $300 would go into a savings account to help them transition out of the village. So it's an assist. It's really a helping program.
Tiny houses is the subject of our segment this morning on the Jefferson Exchange, specifically a proposal to build a tiny house village in Ashland. And Karen Logan is our guest. She's the Ashland Tiny House Group Director. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So how do you envision this working in terms of how long people would be able to stay in this tiny village before you had to transition them out somewhere else?
I think it will totally depend on the participants. So we're saying between 6 months and 2 years. We want it to be no longer than 2 years because we want to make best use of the tiny houses. It's not like we have a lot of affordable housing. We have zero transitional housing for women and children here in Ashland, and they are our most vulnerable population. Children, can be traumatized so deeply from the state of homelessness. Homeless children get an average of 4 hours of sleep a night. They don't have proper food, they don't have places to keep their stuff and home areas for homework. So we really want to support the children that way.
Is there going to be a hard limit as to when people have to move out? You talked about being quite flexible, but obviously people can't stay there forever.
Well, because we're a private homegrown organization, we can be flexible. We will have guidelines. So we in terms of who gets admitted into the village, they're basically priorities and guidelines. It's meant to be handled in a very kind of human personal way.
So I think a lot of people are kind of wondering, well, you as a real estate agent and your group are proposing building this, but
yes,
Who's actually going to operate it?
Well, we have formed a relationship and partnership with Rogue Retreat, who built Hope Village in Medford. I've been sitting and observing their steering committee for over a year now and watching everything, the details of actually building and operating a village. So they have been a great support and assist, and they are experts in case management. So they will administer the part that they have a beautiful program that takes people, you know, in hardship situations and helps to land them back on their feet.
So I imagine that you're going to be seeing as a population here people who are homeless for a variety of reasons. Some of them are purely economic. Others may be related to situations of domestic abuse, perhaps drug and alcohol abuse, people trying to get out of crisis situations. What are your plans for keeping the residents of this tiny village safe?
Well, we in our plans, we have the tiny houses, a fenced area, so we plan to have security and a lock there. And then in the building, that will be the kitchen shared and bathroom and laundry facility, we will have we intend on having two on-site staff. So there'll be two people there, you know, monitoring the situation. And one of the neighbors who came out almost in opposition to the village, she came up with a really great suggestion, which is basically have someone do a walk around at night. And that's what apparently some of the neighbors do in that area. And so we're going to adopt suggestions from people. I think it's a fantastic idea. You know, where it's going to be a really upgrade for the neighborhood and a really safe situation.
That was sort of my next question. It sounds like you're going to piggyback on their neighborhood watch group there. But the piece of land that I've seen is just off of Clay Street. Is that correct?
Yes.
And
yeah.
So that's what you envision.
380 Clay Street.
Okay. And there are a lot of townhomes and whatnot in that vicinity. Have you had opposition and concerns from neighbors?
Well, we did have a few come out when we made the announcement, and this lady in particular was concerned about background checks. And again, when I've gone around for over a year petitioning input from all different sectors of Ashland, and she had suggested, she was like, you know, you really need to have background checks. And I said, absolutely, let's have that. We have that in the CASA work, and so mostly, I've had two neighbors actually say, this is absolutely wonderful. We always wanted this land to be able to integrate serving homeless, but not cutting that down the tree.
Yeah, that big oak tree has been very controversial,
yes.
The attempts to cut that down. So you must have a lot of hoops to jump through now with the city of Ashland. What's
absolutely.
That process look like for you now?
So it's always a challenge to be able to get through things administratively with the city. They've been very supportive along the way. I've had several conversations with every single one of the city council members and addressed their concerns and then integrated that into the project. Now we're at a point where there is over $650,000 available in grants, approximately half of which are federal funds and the rest are city funds. And we really want to be able to apply for those grants.
And those are grants that right now are just sitting there, right?
Well, last year, about $250,000 was not awarded. And that's because it was for a capital improvement, which is basically like a real construction project. And then this year, there's the new $360,000 housing trust fund, which is fantastic. But we want to be able to make the deadline of applying for the grant.
And so in order to get that deadline, do you have to have first city council approval?
We don't have to have approval of the project, but we do have to have their interest, and their interest has to be in writing. So we would need them to issue a letter of interest and a option to purchase. Both of those documents would be conditional upon their further approval of the project. So it does take some administrative work to allow us to be able to qualify for the grant, but it doesn't obligate them.
So let's assume that everything goes well. You get the money, you get the city approval.
Yes.
What does what does the construction process look like for the tiny house village?
Well, for the shared group home facility, we would go through traditional planning. That just has its process and apply. We would, it's an R2 zoning. A group house is a permitted use, so we should be good with that. And then we would upgrade the land, you know, for the tiny house villages. And we can also prepare the tiny houses off site. So as soon as the group house is ready, we'll be able to just move the tiny houses on.
I see. So the tiny house village in Ashland, the proposed tiny house village, is the subject of our segment this morning on the Jefferson Exchange. Karen Logan is the group director for the Ashland Tiny House Group. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. The provision of social services on site, you know, how's that going to work?
In terms of social services, we have a plan to have them stop by. It's a similar thing that they do with Options for Homeless, ORA, right now. So you can have La Clinica show up. You could have mental health come. And they can stop by and, you know, make it convenient for villagers to have that service. And we would do that in the group house.
And is there a mechanism by which neighbors, if the tiny house village gets going and there are problems, say there are behavior problems with residents, et cetera, is there going to be some kind of mechanism by which neighbors and others who are concerned can get those concerns addressed through you?
Yeah, well, I guess they could call me.
Well, by you, I mean the group. Yes.
In terms of the group designed to make it work, that's why we included two on-site managers. So one will be more focused on the facility part, making it operate very smoothly, and the other one will be more on the educational and handling the social network part of it. So working together with the neighborhood is extremely important, and we felt that we needed to absolutely designate funds in the design of the project for on-site managers. As far as I know, no other tiny house village has done that.
Karen Logan is the director of the Ashland Tiny House Group. They're proposing 12 to 15 units on the south end of Ashland as transitional housing for people who are homeless or in danger of being homeless. Karen, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.